listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
This is the Pharmacy Podcast Network's press coverage special episode of the 2024 Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association's annual conference. The PPA 2024 was on February 2nd through 4th in Harrisburg. There was a record-setting number of pharmacy student participants ready to learn about the future of pharmacy care in the Keystone State. The educational programming was stacked with some amazing pharmacist providers, and the networking events connected pharmacy operators and academia with industry businesses supporting pharmacy care in Pennsylvania. The press coverage for PPA 2024 is sponsored by PrimeRx, the powerful pharmacy management software that works hard so you don't have to. We'd also like to thank RxSafe for sponsoring the PPN's press coverage. Check out PrimeRx by visiting primerx.io and visit RxSafe at rxsafe.com. And now, here's a fellow Pennsylvanian, our host and CEO of the PPN, Todd Ury.
Hey, there's one aspect of life. It's probably my weak point. That's the financial side of life. And you need guidance. It would be like multiple drug interactions. I'm going to ask a pharmacist to help me. If I have financial mix-ups of everything from loans to preparing for the future and retirement, I'm going to reach out to people like Mark Bucklove. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners and let us know what you're doing here at the PPA 2024.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. So my name is Mark Bucklaw. I'm with Lifetime Financial Growth. We're a privately owned wealth management firm based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Go Pittsburgh. Go Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm wearing my yellow shoes in, just to let everybody know, I still love the black and gold.
Yeah, you got to bleed the black and gold.
That's right. All right, so tell me about the unique opportunity that you're presenting, and how you and I were talking before about pharmacists coming out of school, getting their first jobs, they're getting really nice salaries, and now they're tasked with paying their loans. It's the daily, it's the weekly, it's the monthly stress of being financially astute and correct, and you kind of give that pharmacist that kind of guidance. So tell us what you do for pharmacist in guidance.
Yeah, so I mean, we're all in different stages of our lives, you know, based on our age and our experience. And I think that, you know, everyone can agree that, you know, having a good financial state is important, right? And starts to reflect on other areas of our lives as well. So, you know, my goal and objective is to help, you know, young pharmacists as well as more seasoned pharmacists have financial freedom, you know, in such a sense. So while they're going to work and hopefully enjoying their job, that they know that there's this other aspect of their life in the background working for them, so that at some point in time when they do step away, that they're well prepared and confident. You know, having financial confidence is really important. Now, my presentation today at 2 o'clock is really around the ideas of getting that first foot forward, right, and keeping in that way, while the audience is going to be, you know, within the first 10 years of their career, right? So you mentioned, you know, a lot of different things like student loans become, you know, a roadblock, right, or a bump in the road, if you will.
Yep.
As well as there's a lot of goals, you know, that young pharmacists have. Within the first 10 years of their career, most of them are going to get new cars, have a wedding, start a family, buy their first home, right? And those are all very economically and financially impactful decisions that need to be made. Mm-hmm. And if you make mistakes along the way, it can really hurt the future. You know, could be further out down the road, but it could kind of affect things now, and it can affect your job. You know, so that's the broad topic of today's discussion.
Now, you were telling me about, hey, you can put a bunch of money away into a 401k, which is wonderful. You can't touch it until retirement, whereas you have plans and vehicles that help to prepare if there's anything that happens along the way that you need to access your money but still have it work for you. So talk to our listeners a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so especially with the new practitioners, we have a step-by-step approach to make sure that, you know, everyone is in alignment with their financial goals and objectives. You know, the first one is we want to make sure people are well protected. They have a long career in front of them, right? What should come home always does. The next step is create cash flow efficiency, right? So as money is coming in the door and it's kind of seeking into our checking accounts, right, we want to capture that money along the way and, you know, be good stewards of our cash flow, because sometimes there's more month at the end of the money, you know, so to speak. And that happens, and we have to have liquidity to be able to manage those life events, because if we don't, we kind of fall subject to places like Visa, right, or MasterCard. Mm-hmm. And now we're negatively affecting our future cash flow, right, with those decisions. So, you know, creating liquidity, starting to become an investor sooner, because a long-term approach to building wealth, you have to be involved in volatile type instruments. There's no way around that, mm-hmm. right? So if you want to have those future higher account balances, you need to be able to stomach volatility. The best way to do that is have a really good framework and a solid foundation, right, of safe, liquid, accessible cash that you can build off of, you know, moving forward. And then, of course, when we get rid of debt, we want to get rid of it entirely, right? We don't want it to continuously creep back into our lives, mm-hmm. where we feel like we're paying off one debt just to go off and pay off another one,
yep.
right? And as humans, we're very habit forming, right? So what it is that you do regularly is something that you're going to do most often, right? So if you become a great saver, have really strong grip on your cash flow management, it just makes everything that much easier in the future when we know that things get more complicated, mm-hmm. right? When we start off our careers, it's just us.
Yeah.
Very quickly, it becomes a spouse, it becomes children, it becomes Disney, becomes part of the family,
yeah.
right? And all those things around us continuously get more and more expensive, and it crunches on a cash flow that doesn't necessarily grow as fast as some other industries than somebody who's in pharmacy, where you start off with this really high, nice salary in comparison to your peers. But as you start to creep into your 30s and 40s, you start to see the other people around you, your friends from college, whoever it may be, your salaries are starting to look a little bit more comparable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give up one of the best tools, which is high cash flow early in your career as a pharmacist, it makes it that much harder later on down the road.
Hmm. That makes sense. All right. So if you want to reach out, if you want to connect with Mark on LinkedIn, Mark, B-U-C-K, Law, L-A-W, Mark Bucklaw. Is there a website? Is there an organization that people can reach out to as well?
Yeah, I have a landing page. It's www.markbucklaw.com. And you can find out, you know, a little bit more information about myself through that website. Our firm, Lifetime Financial Growth, we have a website for that as well. And if you have any questions or anything, feel free to reach out at 412-391-6700.
Excellent. Mark, thank you so much. We will have you in the studios down in Brownsville and maybe get Alan involved, and the three of us can have a nice conversation.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Thank you. Technology, it's how I started in pharmacy. I'm celebrating my 20th year. I think June of 2024 will be my 20th year. I'm getting old in the pharmacy industry. Started in long-term care pharmacy. So when I met with Rini Carmaker, Dr. Carmaker, she is with MedAssist. And I'm excited you're here, Rini, because I want to hear more about the system.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Todd. Thank you. So, you know, MedAssist, we are a technology company, and we are geared towards supporting independent pharmacies. We provide clinical solutions. We provide technology support, and we have an incredible support team as well. And we also have an AI tool. And so every single thing that we do here at MedAssist, it's really, you know, not only to make the process of running your own pharmacy incredibly efficient, but it's also to increase and enhance patient care, as well as increasing patient accessibility to care.
Something else that you said to me, Rini, that really piqued my interest is the cash-based side of this.
Yes.
And that's so important, because in the United States, mm-hmm. we have a corrupt payment system in place through the PBMs that are all about profit to the PBMs, has very little to do with patient care. And that's changing, which is wonderful, but it's not changing fast enough. So in the interim of PBM reform, we need systems and we need programs that can put cash into our community pharmacies, but we can't have cash programs that don't bring value.
Of course.
So when I talked to you and before we started recording, you're passionate about delivering value, but also something that's technologically advanced so that it makes it simple, but mm-hmm. then all of a sudden it's also cash-based. So talk to our listeners about how could we help community pharmacies in the state of Pennsylvania to start generate additional money and profit, but also deliver value.
Okay, so before I go into this, I think I'd like to just give a little background about how pharmacy practice works in Canada.
Okay.
In Canada, of course, you know, especially with the PharmD degree, you know, you have the clinical knowledge and you are clinically trained and you're capable of going ahead and prescribing for a wide range of variety of conditions. Now, in Canada, depending on the province where you practice, as a pharmacist, you can actually prescribe a wide range of minor ailments. And you can also refill your prescriptions, you can adapt it, and you can extend prescriptions. So the reason we've done this is because, you know, pharmacists, you know, they are able to do this, so why don't they? And this really helps patients being able to access the care instead of having to go to the ER. And of course, in ERs that are already overloaded, about 30% of those visits are due to minor ailments and minor conditions. These are such as like your UTI, allergies, heartburn, simple treatments that patients can actually treat themselves with. However, they just need to have access to that treatment. Mm-hmm. So that is what we are here to do. We are trying to see if we can start, and you can see if Pennsylvania, the pharmacists here in Pennsylvania would be interested in participating in a pharmacist prescribing initiative that we're looking to launch. Essentially, how this would work, it would be through a medical directive, and it would be done everything, you know, through the platform. And so if a patient goes into their local community pharmacy, next time that they have a UTI, instead of having to go to the urgent care clinic where they'd be already dishing out at least a minimum $100, and let's not forget, they'd also be taking off an entire day from work, also missing out on their salary. So they could just go to your local community pharmacy and do the assessment there. And as long as there are no red flags present, the PA physician that we will have, you know, paired you up with, will have already pre-approved that you as the pharmacist can go ahead and prescribe to your patient any of the top line therapies that are available. And we do put in the top lines, and the reason why is because, you know, some patients may be allergic to one treatment, or, you know, maybe you're out of, you know, one specific treatment and you have the other one on storage. And for whatever reason, you know, whatever fits your patients best, you as a pharmacist can now go ahead and make that decision. And so this would be a cash pay service as well. And what that means is you have the authority to go ahead and set the price that you want for your patients to pay in order to access the service. It's just, you know, a 5-minute assessment essentially, and then you'd be able to provide them a prescription within just five minutes, and you then can then say, you know what, my community, maybe they're a little bit, you know, on the lower end, and, you know, maybe lower socioeconomical end. So then you can say, maybe, you know, I want to charge them $30 in order to get this prescription, rather than, of course, urgent care, for example. But if you are a pharmacy, let's say operating, you know, downtown in a major city, you know, with skyscrapers around you, where, you know, everyone here, they're executives, they're busy, and they can afford, you know, to pay more for the convenience of being able to just go to the local pharmacy and within 5 minutes get a treatment to a much needed, you know, treatment that they need right now. So they can, you can charge them about $50, $60, whatever, you know, whatever is actually convenient and whatever, you know, works, and not just for you, but also for your patient base. So this is a new source of revenue that we'd be bringing in. And so if there are any independent pharmacists here in the state of Pennsylvania that are interested, please check us out, www.medassist.com.
Medassist.com, that's med, M-E-D, and then E-S-S-I-S-T.com. My last question is, I know of systems telehealth systems, mm-hmm. telepharmacy systems, where a physician is intricate, meaning they're tied into the treatment, whether that they know they need pharmacist oversight or they need some pharmacist to follow up on mm-hmm. whatever the physician did. Is this Medisys system tied into some kind of telehealth connection to that remote physician somewhere? No. Or how does that work?
So essentially, it would be through a medical directive. So I believe over here, a lot of pharmacists do this for vaccines, for example, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think so.
There are, let's say, if you want to go ahead and prescribe a vaccine, you have an assessment form, and you just fill out the assessment form. Patient checks off all the boxes. You would then fax it to your physician, and then their physician, and then the physician can just go ahead and give the license number and sure, go ahead and prescribe. So what we've done is pretty much the same concept, except everything would be pre-approved. So it's already built into the platform, and the way that we have put these safeguards is that as long as there are no red flags, only then would you as the pharmacist even have the ability to prescribe a treatment.
Okay. Understood. All right. So we want to dig deeper into Medisys. So you and I are definitely going to have some follow-up in the future. But this was really exciting to hear of this through Pharmacy Podcast Network as well as the PPA annual. And I'm glad you guys are here. So thanks for being part of this.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And I'm so excited to meet all the lovely and wonderful, fantastic pharmacists in the wonderful state of Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Hey, we are here at the 2024 Pennsylvania Pharmacist Annual Convention in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I am here with Dr. Sarah Farwell. What an interesting before we started recording, conversation that we had about your background.
We did.
You are a fellow Pennsylvanian.
I am.
So welcome to the 2024 PPA. Tell me about yourself and why you're here.
Yeah, well, thanks, Todd. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm a medical science liaison with Novavax. We are a protein-based adjuvanted vaccine company. So I'm here because it's my home state,
yep.
But we have a lot of opportunity for education and collaboration with pharmacy networks and pharmacists. And, you know, we have some exciting things to recap and discuss for the future vaccine seasons. So so that's why I'm here.
Awesome. So I really like the fact that your organization and you, as well as people on your team, are very tied into pharmacists.
Yes.
You know, for every time someone in the community somewhere is seeing their physician, they're able to see, on an average, their pharmacist about 9 times more than seeing their physician, just because physicians are so freaking busy.
Mm-hmm.
And having vaccines, immunizations tied into people who understand it, as well as cycles and variants and being able to give community updates. This is so important. Something really impressing me about Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association, not because it's just our home state. I'm from Pittsburgh. You're from out in the sticks. Where was the area that you were from?
Well, originally from Moon.
Moon. Well, that's right. We said that. And you always beat us in your high school swimming team. So the sparseness, the spread out of Pennsylvania, we have this condensed in Pittsburgh, condensed population in Philly, and you have this whole areas that don't have any medical facilities at all except for a community pharmacy. So what has always impressed me about our state association is able to build networks through a CPSN, a Community Pharmacy Enhanced Services Network. They call it the PPCN, the Pennsylvania Pharmacy Clinical Network. And that network is going to help us get more information and more education to communities that don't really have very much. They're not close to a hospital, maybe 30 miles away or something, where the community pharmacy is set up. Talk to me about your team and the interesting makeup of that team. And I think you said you have 2 or 3 pharmacists on your specific team. Right?
Yes, we do. The U.S. MSL team, there are 5 of us. 2 of us are PharmDs. 2 of us are PhDs. And then we have one MD in our group. And we do a lot of collaborating with our Canada colleagues as well. So we have a couple MDs up there. So we all bring very different perspectives. My background is actually in manufacturing of parenterals. So I bring something different to the table. Everybody has unique perspectives. But when it comes to interacting with pharmacy and pharmacists, especially in this region, we're all kind of spread out. But, you know, we take lessons from each other all over the country. And I can tell you that one of our team members who does a lot of work in L.A., and does a lot of presentations to, you know, CVS out there and those sort of integrated networks out there. She's had so much benefit, and just to learn what's going on. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing? What can we take and then do something about? You know, how can we provide better education? Not just to, really from top down. Yep. That's really the goal. And so I think because we all bring unique educational backgrounds and perspectives, we're able to kind of really dig into those questions and then take something useful.
Dr. Sarah Farwell, thank you for participating in our post show. We're excited about Novavax. I've hoped to work with your organization in the future, maybe build a series, but thanks for being here.
Thanks, Todd.
Sean Naren here at the Pennsylvania Pharmacist 2024 annual meeting. Sean, it's nice to see you.
Are we live? Is this it?
We're live.
This is literally my interview?
This is your interview.
All right.
I'm just going to jump right in.
Let's do it.
The deep water.
10-4.
ACAR RX, what's on the agenda for you? Is it CE? Are you interested in learning something at some of these sessions? We know Cal McCormick's going to be talking about Cost Plus. Like, what are you most interested in being here?
Yes.
All of the above.
It's a jam-packed event, man. There's, there's just so much to learn. I mean, the networking is great. The classes, the sessions are great. Yeah, Kyle's out there. The Department of Health is here to speak to some people about some direction for pharmacy. So we're really in pharmacy's in a sweet spot, man. I mean, on one hand, it's like I don't know what you want to call it, like a conundrum. Like we're on the precipice of greatness with like clinical engagements with people and working in the community, PPCN, that caliber of stuff. Like we're moving the needle there. In fact, you probably know, but in 24 or no, maybe 25, but 24, we're getting provider status for a ton of things. Yep. I mean, it's really a nice spot. And then on the other hand, we're getting the shit kicked out of us with reimbursements. So it's like, how do you, what's the success model to balance both of those so you advance pharmacy, but you survive?
Yes.
So, but those answers come from events like this.
I was just talking to Eric Cushy. He was just on the show talking to me about
EZE.
How he's rising up with some of the cash-based programs that he's putting out for his clients and patients. He's not going through the struggles because of his depth of four pharmacies that some of the other players are experiencing. But cash-based programs and being a specialist in something is a big future of community pharmacy. And I want to know from your perspective, ACOR is not a traditional community pharmacy. You are really poised for the surge of 11,000
baby boomers
per
a day
for the next
65 plus,
for the next 11 months are going to hit 65. So ACOR is, with everything that you did with packaging and delivering at home and servicing at home, you're ready for this wave.
Well, I mean, that's the creation of it, right? Is how do we respond? Like, I always tell people, well, number one, let's back up. If Eric Cushy's into something, then you know you're in the right place. I mean, he just has that knack to know what's next, or, he finds sweet spots, man. He's very good at that. So if he's in the cash-based model, then there is an opportunity there. But, yeah, I mean, Kyle's out of the box, and he's making his way, right? I mean, he speaks at pretty much every event you go to now. He's a speaker.
Yep.
I mean, Mark Cuban copied his idea.
Exactly.
So, Cost Plus is great. Now, ACOR, that's not our niche, right? My niche is more So, you know, we just discussed the elderly population, the aging. How do you keep them at home? How do you give them the services that they need to keep them at home? And, you know, that's still not to, that's still to be determined, right? I mean, there's certain things we can do. Sure, the medication part's easy. I package them, sync, pack, and deliver them.
Yep.
Boom, solve the medication part. But there's other services, right? How do we wrap clinical services around there? How do we get vaccinations at home, right? How do we make sure that they're getting their flu and their COVID vaccine and the RSV vaccine that's out there now, the shingles vaccine? You know, how do we build like a home-based model, and who cares about that?
Yes.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, if nobody cares about it, we're just building something, you know, for the sake of building it.
Correct.
You have to position it so somebody cares, right? So we hope, right, the health plans should care. The MCOs, you know, should care. The insurance companies. There's a real opportunity in sort of concierge-level services.
Yep.
Talk to me about the balance, and it's an element that you don't really want to get into directly because of the relationships that you have with home care agencies. You and I have talked about this before, but there's an opportunity for community pharmacies, not just in the state of Pennsylvania, but nationally, to get deeper into home care services. But you have relationships with some home care service agencies that you don't want to, you know, bulldoze those relationships.
Yeah, so I've chosen, you know, that pathway. Listen, I'm amazed how much home care neglects pharmacy.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a natural fit. I mean, they just dovetail together, but there's hardly any home care pharmacy like combination business models, and I don't know why. Again, I don't go there because I get my business from home care, so you know, I'm reluctant to jump in there and compete with, you know, the source of my referrals.
Yep.
But nonetheless, that doesn't change the fact that the marrying of pharmacy and home care, you're building your own audience, right?
Exactly.
It's like owning a nursing home.
Yes.
Well, you can't get, you're in LTC pharmacy, maybe you struggle to get new accounts because of the Omni cares of the world.
Yep.
But we'll go buy our own nursing home and start it, and then you're your own customer.
Yes.
Right? So you have to kind of vertical, you know, the opportunities. I mean, there's a lot of vertical plays. You just have to figure out the ones that dovetail with you, both your vision, and give you opportunity to grow.
What is the tech play? You are one of the people like me who are really interested in tech. What's come about over the last couple of years that you've been interested in technology?
Man, I think pharmacy, we have to figure out a way into the RPM world. We're in a sweet spot to manage that.
Yep.
Right, to capture patients' blood pressures, you know, via a Bluetooth device.
Yep.
Share that with the doctor, make recommendations on their medication regimens. I mean, RPM is a huge, though it's seriously, RPM is a great opportunity. We just have to figure out the way in, right? Do we hire a doctor? You know, can we do that, you know, where a doctor sort of works for us? You know, we leverage his license and ability to order it and then rev share some sort of model. You know, I don't know. I'll tell you another huge argument. We have to get Luke over here so you can talk to my man Luke from Architect.
Yes, he was on before at the Western
was
Regional,
okay.
But I need him back.
Yeah. Well, he's here. We have a booth, right? So Architect is a company that supports independent pharmacies in the clinical space. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys just don't have the bandwidth to do all the clinical services that the PPCN offers today. And it's not their fault. That's just the dynamic of the business model, right? They're behind the counter working and doing their thing. They don't have bandwidth to do all these clinical engagements. So Architect comes in, teams up with them, provides some resources and helps them complete these clinical engagements. And then, you know, we get paid to do it, but they profit, you know, there's plenty of money left over for them, and they really did nothing in the process. It's a good service for their patients. They can grow it. And we can help them do it. So Architect really dovetails nice with, this conference and the clinical opportunities that are now presented us.
Excellent. I appreciate you being part of the show. We're going to reach out to Luke here and get him engaged.
Yeah, I'll send him.
Being part of the show. Send him over.
I'll find him.
All right. Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association 2024 annual meeting in Harrisburg. What a wonderful event that we had. I just want to shout out to all of our guests that came on the show in our coverage of the PPA 2024. Thank you so much for being available and talking with us and sharing this. This is a national program, and we're very proud. I'm very proud of my state association and how far that they've come. I have two special guests that I want to introduce you to. And I'm just blown away by both of them, and for different reasons, obviously. Dr. Chris Antipas, he is the elected president for 2024 of the PPA. Chris, what an amazing event this was.
Amazing. It was so much fun. We're honored to have you with us. But I mean, shout out to the incredible team, the staff at PPA led by our fearless leader, Vicki Elliott. But really, the entire team did an exceptional job. And then we also, you know, shout out to the board members, to the volunteer pharmacists, to the foundation. There's so many people that really came together to make this, you know, our speakers, just an incredible feat, you know, and I'm super, like, it's an honor for me to have my name associated with it, frankly.
Vicki Elliott, I'm so proud of your team and what you put together, as well as some of your speakers, which I'm going to go into, but I just want you to say hi to the listeners before we get started.
Hey, everybody. And thanks, Todd, for pulling this together. It was our pleasure. There was a lot that happened this past weekend. We had 209 pharmacists and technician participants. We had 115 students, which may be a record for this organization. We sold out our exhibit hall. We enjoyed support from 10 conference sponsors and, of course, our annual corporate sponsors. And we had over 30 hours of CE from which to choose. We actually had people saying, I'm not sure where to go next. So and that was, you know, that's not even half the things that we did. So it was a good weekend.
You know, not to blow it up any more than I have, but PPA, you have some superstars. You have a Pharmacy 50 Most Influential with Chris, obviously, but also with Courtney Smith, Dr. Mm-hmm. Smith, in mm-hmm. her presentation. I can't get enough of Dr. Nicole Pizzino and her passion. As many times as I can see her jump in pictures that she captures, I can't get enough of that. Our own Dr. Jenna Quinn, who is part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, and she leads our Pediatric Pharmacist Review Show. That's one of my favorite presentations when she dug into polypharmacy and pediatrics. Chris, was there any other of the content that you just wanted to point out of what you kind of enjoyed?
I mean, I had the pleasure of kind of bouncing around. We had great clinical CE content. There were several really important meetings. We'll touch on, you know, we had a workplace summit where we had leaders from all over the state come in. Basically a pre-conference type of discussion that was had, and we're looking to address the, you know, some of these workforce issues to prop up pharmacists and ensure that they can, you know, practice at the top of their license and get the support necessary. You know, we had meetings with representatives from, you know, DHS was on site. We had the Department of Health, recognizing the value and importance that the Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association brings in representing pharmacists from all corners of our profession. And, you know, what I really most love was the engagement that students have with pharmacists. There's you talk about passion, and Nicole's up there and nationally as far as passion and about what she does, but and we're so blessed. But the students were engaged. The pharmacists, I think, those of us that are working, you know, it's a challenging industry these days across the board. And so you kind of get reinvigorated with the students and just being able to have positive discussions with them and seeing their energy of coming into the profession to make their mark. So all around, I was just blown away. It went by so fast, and I'm disappointed because there was just so much to soak up, but really proud of what we accomplished at this conference.
I want to point something out. This is very special. I've been documenting the profession of pharmacy now for 20 years. And the class of 2014 pit for PPA, those people are freaking superstars. Now, this is 10 years later, we saw a blow up of student interaction. And Vicky told us about this record setting participation of students. I don't think that that's a chance that that's happening. We are seeing a new leadership being formed in our students, the next generation of our pharmacy and pharmacy care and leading this nation. And Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association is constantly bringing some of the best of the best. And just a shout out to the class of 2014. I got chills when I saw that picture that was posted on social media with Brandon and Kyle and just all the superstars. So Vicky, I think that you have something, that you have a record number of students participating. We have so many rich pharmacy schools in the state of Pennsylvania. What do you think about that?
We do. We're fortunate. You know, I kind of walked into the situation. You have a predecessor who you made it part of her mission to, you know, have a connection with the school, set up a formalized student advisory board with chapters at every school. And we have an executive fellow and association manager this year, Taylor Leggett, who made it her mission to make a connection to the schools. She and I were on the road and actually had a chance to be in several of them in November, talking to various classes. But really, you know, connecting with them, getting them onboarded, oriented, and then making sure that they knew where and when to be a part of our regionals that happened this past fall, but then the annual conference. We had the opportunity to have 16 students, along with faculty mentors, present posters, three of which earned on posters of distinction honors, first time we've done that, one from Jefferson, one from Pittsburgh, and one from the Penn State Milton Hershey Medical Center. So kudos to them. We had all seven schools, if I recall, participate in the OTC competition. Again, might be a record, but we've not seen that certainly before COVID. And we saw, I'm looking at my notes right now, we saw Lee come walk away with the bragging rights there. So congratulations to them. And I have to give a big shout out to Lee come. Taylor and I had a chance to visit them on our tour in November, and I had a great engagement with the class, the leadership there. And then we headed down to Pittsburgh a couple of days later for a regional meeting there. And lo and behold, about a dozen of them kind of followed us down that western corridor there and showed up at the conference, all because they said, we heard about it from you and we couldn't miss out. So they're, you know, making a comeback. I'm really proud of them for that. And then they went, ran away with the OTC competition. So good to good for them. And then we had, I think, five teams. I don't know. I have to admit, I fell asleep. I went to my room and passed out. But there was a lip sync competition very late Saturday night, during which I believe our own president made an appearance and did a lip sync. So I've heard. And actually, Wilkes University ran away with the bragging rights on that. They couldn't be more excited. So, again, engagement opportunities for fun, but opportunities for, you know, presentation of great research all throughout the weekend.
But Todd, to your point about what we've got going on in Pennsylvania, I think that, you know, networking is just so critical. And when you've got the likes of some of the pharmacists that we have in Pennsylvania, just being able to talk to them, even if you're a practicing pharmacist, you know, we have pharmacists that are just, they're not sure where to go. And having people that you could call and just get their opinion, you just can't overstate how meaningful that is. And being at these conferences, if you're a student, if you're an existing practitioner, you know, if you're somebody that people want to meet, you feel good about people coming up to you and say, hey, I'd love to hear what you have to say. It's just it's a perfect environment to meet and connect with folks. And I, you know, Taylor, our executive fellow, I mean, she was a rock star. She did an incredible job. I think the students, they couldn't have imagined a better experience of professional opportunities and social opportunities, networking opportunities, and kudos to Taylor for, you know, just hitting that out of the park.
Yeah, I would agree. The content there was fabulous. I walked in, because I had little time to really interact and get into sessions, which is always disappointing because I miss out on the good speakers and the content and the research, right? But I did walk into one of the student sessions right as it was wrapping up, and it was an opportunity, sort of a hybrid session. We brought in two professionals via Zoom, and two were in the room, just talking about how to leverage your social media platform, in particular LinkedIn. And the buzz after the session was concluded in the room, the excitement and the aha moments that they had, and then the buzz on social media about the session from some of the speakers that I just saw today was just incredible. And then that engagement there between Taylor and them and others who are in the room, you know, it's been going. In fact, every time I jump on LinkedIn, I have like 10 more notifications that are specific to what happened at the conference this weekend.
Yep. That's incredible. Congratulations. And shout out to the schools. You know, that says something about preparing for the real world. And it's not just the clinical. It's as important as it is, and that comes first. It's safety first. But on top of that, it's your network and it's what you're teaching by doing this. I think the entire environment at the conference was a workshop for the students.
I couldn't agree more. We had Dean Ed Foote from PCP St. Joe's, Dean John Ferentz from Wilkes Nesbitt School of Pharmacy, who were on site the entire weekend. And we had a dean's meeting, and we had a couple more of them in that meeting as well. We do try to meet quarterly, but you know, it's always been sort of our mantra that expectation for engagement involvement comes from the top down. And so if your students see your deans and your lead faculty there doing that, then it's easy to set the expectation for, oh, this is something I should not miss, and I need to take advantage of this opportunity.
Awesome. Awesome. I also want to give a shout out to one of my favorite pharmacists in the state of Pennsylvania, Dr. Brandon Antonopoulos, who's our president and chief operating officer over at the Pennsylvania Pharmacist Care Network. The reason why I'm mentioning this, the PPCN, and once again, not to beat my chest about how proud I am of our Pennsylvania pharmacists, but the PPCN is seriously driving outcomes for our patients statewide and getting paid to do so, which is the future of pharmacy care. It's not about the dispensing fee. We know it's dwindling away, and we're going to see where PBM reform takes us. But wow, can you speak to that a little bit about PPCN? And I still don't know what the formula is of why the state of Pennsylvania has been so successful with CPSN and taking PPCN to the level that it is. But Vicky, you got to be excited about that.
So I'm going to let Chris comment, because of course he's on the board and he predates, you know, my involvement with PPCN. All I'm going to say is, wow. I use every opportunity just to leverage PPCN to the advantage of PPA where I can. But those pharmacies, of which there are 220 right now, are making it happen. They're taking advantage of the opportunities. We actually have Taylor situated in one of those pharmacies down in York County, Minix Pharmacy, and she sees what's happening and she's taking that and sharing it elsewhere. It's pretty incredible how, you know, other parts of the country are actually looking to Pennsylvania for how are you doing that? And for me, part of the secret sauce really is the relationship between PPA as the association and this pharmacist care network. Yeah. And it's always been a very close relationship. PPCN was born out of the PPA. But you know, there's also that engagement of a major university, University of Pittsburgh, you know, in our early days, and that support still continues with the fact that Stephanie McGrath, you know, sits in a faculty position there. It's been a marriage of success since the beginning. But I'll let Chris kind of comment on sort of what we're seeing of late with the network.
Yeah, so I would echo Vicky's comments. The Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association is a key differentiator. Not every network, in fact, few networks have the type of relationship that PPCN, our CPSN network, has with our state association. As a result of this collaboration, we have engagement from schools of pharmacies, helping to train their students, involving these types of services in their curriculum, creating practice sites out of PPCN pharmacy sites to help further complete these clinical engagements and encounters we have. The pharmacists and the luminaries in our network are leveraging their relationships with payers. Keep in mind that CPESN and PPCN, it's a vehicle to engage with payers. It doesn't guarantee payer opportunities. So our pharmacy leaders are leveraging relationships with payers, introducing these concepts, and then we can present a pathway to touch all of their members through this clinically integrated network of 220 pharmacies. You also have our infrastructure, again, really led by leadership from PPA, where we have a board of directors for our network. We have a board chair in Nick Leon, who's out of Jefferson, who has been a tremendous leader of our strategy at a board level, and you know, building this infrastructure, bringing on someone like Brandon, giving Stephanie McGrath the resources she needs to engage with pharmacies and providers, other individuals that need a shout out, Kelsey Hake, Nicole Hassan, some folks that are really, we've got this collaboration and we've been able to demonstrate success. So it's one of those things that snowballed as you begin to document and demonstrate that you're improving patient care, you're avoiding unnecessary hospital expense. We can then begin to solve the equation of invest in this service from pharmacists to save more than what you invest on the back end. And I really think that, you know, the other pearl, which I'm sure it may have come up in some of your other discussions about this conference, is that, you know, Department of Human Services, Medicaid in Pennsylvania announced that they will be enrolling pharmacists as providers. And so we can be paid for providing clinical services. I think it's not a coincidence that we've had years of ongoing success demonstrating that pharmacists can deliver clinical outcomes. And obviously PPA was instrumental in this, this advancement, but we are really a shining star right now in what pharmacists can do. And between PPA and PPCN, I mean, it is, despite all of the challenges that we're facing right now on reimbursement and DIR and, you know, all the challenges that have emerged January 2024, we have this, you know, beacon of hope that, you know, maybe change is going to actually happen. And it's a great time, despite these other challenges, to kind of be involved and be engaged right now.
Yes, it gets me excited. And it was also reflected in the size of the conference and the busyness of the conference. And I also want to give a shout out of how many vendors came to the event to support the event because they knew that the numbers were going to be there, and they were. So they were very interactive. Organizations that support us as well, Micro Merchant, PrimeRx, RxSafe, you know, being there, Eliven Health. I mean, amazing organizations, but these vendors were there to engage with the pharmacists within the state, and they did so. And I just thought it was an amazing, amazing time to be able to. Yeah. And you know what? That all comes back to what you both were saying about networking.
Exactly. So it's interesting because, you know, I made it a point to get to every exhibitor, which could be explained why my feet hurt so much by the time we got to the lip sync competition on Saturday night. But, you know, the feedback was from several was, I didn't necessarily come here to get leads. Like RxA, for an example, he said, I came here because of the relationships, you know, and it was important for me to be here to support the organization, the people I know here. So for that, we certainly appreciate it. You know, for others, it was their first foray, for a lot, actually, first time that they were with PPA in this fashion. Some just frankly found us through a Google search, which I thought was very interesting, which means, yes, I'm popping up on a Google search high enough for that to happen. That's good. But then, you know, others were actually recruited by some of our own board members who said, here's who we are, here's where we'll be, and why I think you need to be there, which worked wonderfully. So, yeah, we were excited. When Katie came to me, our conference education manager, and said, we're sold out, and we have to figure out where we're going to put some people now. I'm like, okay, it's a good problem to have. Let's work on that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I was proud to be there, to be a part of it. Chris, I'm so proud of you. Vicky, I can't wait to dig deeper into coming back to PPA and being a lot more close to the organization with documentation, especially with the schools. The PPN has a very specific goal in 2024 and throughout to do more with the schools. We've started to do a P3 networking event with Mark Garofoli down at WVU School of Pharmacy. And I want to be throughout the schools of the state of Pennsylvania too, and really understanding what is the future of pharmacy saying, and what are they interested in, and what are they going to build, you know, that we don't know about right now, then 10 years from now, at the Pennsylvania Pharmacist 2034. I'll be old. But yeah, it's exciting to be a part of this. And I want to say thank you both for having us there as press.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, it's our pleasure. Thank you for reaching out, wanting to be a part of it. And I'm excited to hear, you know, how the other interviews went. So we're looking forward to the final product.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're the best. You are an ambassador for pharmacy across this country, and we're lucky to have you in our backyard. So the feeling is mutual.
Absolutely. Like being part of the Pennsylvania Pharmacists Association, as we're closing up the 2024 annual event and celebrating this on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. And to learn more, please go to papharmacists.com. Once again, that's PA, Pennsylvania, pharmacists.com. Thanks for listening.